the floor. Thank you very much. Good morning and welcome, everyone. I thought I'd begin by going through, giving you a general review of the three segments, and then tell you a little bit more about the detailed financials. And then we'll have a question and answer session after my presentation, as you heard. Starting on page two, we see the development in our lending and in the net income. We started the year with another strong year of growth, growing by approximately 16% compared to Q1 2018, and we see strong growth in both of our bank segments and in all of our markets. And it's particularly pleasing in this quarter to see that the core of our operations, Payment Solutions, is showing even higher growth numbers than previously, combined with better margins. At the same time, we also see that it's a quarter that is characterized by enhanced competition in Norway on private lending, and this has resulted in lower margins for us. To a great extent, we compensate for this with lower CI ratios, and we deliver a result up by 11% compared to last year. Well worth noting here is that historically, the first quarter tends to be the weakest one of any year, but this year we're up by 11%, so that's a strong performance as far as we're concerned, but I'm going to tell you more about the details about this in a few moments. And if we turn the page and have a look at the next slide, we'll start by looking at Payment Solutions. It's growing by 13% in reported currencies or 12% in constant currencies. And this is in fact the highest growth that we've seen over an extended period. The growth is also due to higher margins if you compare with Q1 2018. Growth is mainly driven by already existing partnerships, and it's also growth which is visible in all our markets. However, we do continue to develop our business by way of new technical solutions, such as the push function in our checkout, but also in our new cooperation with DicoPay. DicoPay gives us access to a new customer segment, which we have not worked with very actively previously, and we very much look forward to this as we move forward. Flipping to the next page, let me tell you about consumer loans. We continue to deliver strong growth, 18% growth in the loan book. And here as well, we see growth in all our markets, even if Sweden contributes with the biggest increase in absolute numbers and Finland for the greatest increase in percentage. A strong contributing factor for this strong growth is, just as previously, the credit engine, which is working very well. It's now also been launched in Denmark during Q1. And I will get back to you with some more detail in a few moments. But this is also a quarter which is characterized by enhanced competition in Norway. And this has put pressure on our margins in this segment. And if we look at the next page, let's have a look at the insurance operations. It continues to develop strongly, where premiums are up by approximately 7% and an improved technical result, 8% up to 23 million for the first quarter. This is entirely in line with the strategy that we've been pushing for the last few years, focusing on core operations and at the same time improving key ratios to improve our performance. During the quarter, we entered into new partnerships in the different markets, not least a new partnership in order to sell PPI outside of the resource group. Now, let's have a look at the more detailed financial part of the presentation. So we flip to page 7, where we find that we have strong growth both in our loan book and in our performance after tax. After tax, it's up by 11% in net income. If we then look more in detail at the growth in the loan book, we grow by 16% in reported currency, and this is more or less the same increase in constant currency, and this is a little bit higher compared to the growth rate in 2018. It's also very nice to see that the core of our operations, Payment Solutions, is growing more rapidly than what we've seen over the past few years. During this particular quarter, we're up by 13% in reported or 12% in constant currencies. And if we look at the distribution between offline and online volume, About 30% of our sales volume can be referred to online. This is more or less on par with the levels we've seen over the past year. The growth is mainly driven by the fact that volumes are increasing with existing partners, but we also continue to take in new partners, and that's going to give us even more of a boost in growth as we move forward. Consumer loans continue to grow stably, in a stable way, with high numbers now by 18%, and this is in line with what we've seen during a longer period at this stage. And all markets, as I mentioned, contribute with growth, even if Sweden, in terms of absolute numbers, represent the biggest increase. Let's have a look at the next slide, the income side. We are up by 11% in operating income, just under 900 million compared to last year, approximately 800 million. And if we look at the NBI margin, we see that it's down. And this drop is driven by consumer loans and mainly due to competition in Norway. What we do see are two things, in fact, which have an impact. Now, when the regulatory framework from 2017 has become an act of law in Norway, we see how the last of the competitors are having to adapt to this, and the competition for Norwegian lending volumes goes up. We see a continued demand for loans, but without a shadow of a doubt, most of our competitors are chasing these volumes, and this is bringing pressure downwards on the margins.
And then we turn the page to look at our expenses, and they were up 9% to around 360 million Swedish krona compared to the previous year. And the increase for the quarter, and we've discussed this before, mainly has to do with investments in IT and increased marketing activities to catch volume and to build the brand. And both these investments are for us to ensure opportunities for a continued stable, profitable growth. What is very positive is that the CI ratio is improving and improving significantly. We're moving from 40.7 to 40.1%, and that is an increase with 60 points, or an improvement with 60 points. And that is the same type of improvement as we saw in Q4 2018. And that shows us that we have scalability in our activities. And then if we continue with looking at credit losses, they're up in absolute numbers. And this is mainly driven by us increasing our volumes. We see a smaller increase in percentages, and that is because of increased debt collection transfers, what we saw the first few months in Norway this year. However, we now see that they're down, those transfers to collection in March. So underlying, we see stability. And we turn the page. And then we look at the risk-adjusted NBI margin, and we see that it's down. And I've said before that that's driven mainly by the increased competition in the Norwegian market. And if we continue with the three segments more in detail, and if we start with payment solutions, we have a strong growth with the 13%, and the NBI margin is down somewhat compared to the same quarter last year. And we see a decrease in credit losses looking at the segment, which means that we have a risk-adjusted NBI margin that's up at 30 points. And at the same time, we have a significant stable increase in lending. And we feel that the development here in this segment is very positive. And if we continue with the next page, where we have consumer loans, we have a strong increase, 18%. And we also see the sinking NBI margin. And the reason for this is that all the competitors in Norway now have adapted to the rules that have become law. And that, in combination with the lending volumes, is putting pressure on prices and margins. And we have decided to try to take volumes because we think that long term this is an interesting market, and we feel that this is a market that will be important in the future, and we want a clear, strong position. And credit losses are up compared to last year, and that is mainly driven by the debt collection transfers, what we saw the first few months of this year in Norway. But then towards the end of the quarter, we saw that those debt collection transfers have gone down to normal levels. But we do have, in total terms, reduction of the risk-adjusted NBI margin. And then if we continue with insurance, we have a growth in premiums earned with 7%, and we have an improved combined ratio with 90.1%, and that is a good increase of the technical result with 8%. And what is very positive is that we have a better loss ratio than last year. And then if we continue with looking at our capital position, we have a continued strong capital position with the CET1 at 13.1 and total capital percentage ratio 15.1. So we're with a good margin above regulatory requirements and our own targets as well. And this quarter, we have also issued 300 million Swedish krona in a T2 capital. And then if we turn the page to look at our financing of operations, we have the same financing structure as in 2018 with the diversification of ABS, MTN and capital. And we have here some 1.2 billion that we have in our MTN program that has been issued. And then if we look at the last slide where we have financial target performance this quarter, we're under our target for the risk-adjusted NBI margin. That has to do with Norway. And at the same time, we deliver on or above all other financial targets, and not least the ROTE, where we have around 33%. And that concludes my presentation of Q1. And we open up for questions.
If you would like to put a question to the speaker, please press dial 01 on your mobile phone. We have a first question from Jens Hallén of Carnegie. Go ahead. Good morning, Jens here speaking. First of all, could you just briefly tell us a little bit more about the margins? There was quite a significant drop this quarter, as you mentioned. What's the situation with Norwegian growth? Could you allocate less capital to Norway and more to the other markets to try somehow to get over the 10% hurdle, which is your target? The answer is yes, says Peter, but I'm going to develop my answer and qualify it a little bit. First of all, if you look at the Norwegian market, we see that competition is fiercer. It's tougher. We haven't set numbers for the actual markets yet, but our impression is that competition is up and it's driven by two things. One is the regulatory framework now turned into an act of law, and the final competitors have also made the necessary adaptations. And the second factor is that several of the Norwegian banks are on the lookout for more volume, and that has brought margins down in a downward pressure development. We have chosen in this quarter to remain and grab volume in this market because we want to maintain our position. On the one hand, because it's a market characterized by brokers to a great extent, but over time we believe that there's also going to be a consolidation, and so we want to maintain our position in this market. So in the longer term, we believe that this is an interesting place to be in this market. Having said that, we're going to have mitigating activities such as raising prices in our loan book, the back book as a whole for the second quarter. And we're also going to look into whether we can add additional products or services that we could sell with the aim of raising the margin. And then to get back more specifically to your final question, we are prepared where we are here and now to not have the same volume growth in Norway in order to get volumes up, and we believe that we can find the volumes in our other three markets. So it's a combination of several things. We're going to introduce new activities in the second quarter, and we're going to evaluate whether we can get a compensation with additional volume in the other markets to get the total margin up. Okay. Well, we're so you're not going to. So you feel that right now you're at a level where you want to take action to look at volume versus margin. Yes. Excellent, thank you. I have another question. It's a little bit more of a technical question. The degree of provisions was 48% a year ago, 45% for the full year, now 44%. What's driving this? Except that we are more into IFRS 9. It's still down by 4 percentage points or so. Well, it's easy to get very technical when you look at this. I would say that it is a development in terms of how we look at IFRS 9. When we started the year, I think we were a little bit more, last year we were a bit more conservative in our the provisions we made, and then we've learned more about the flows and the three different steps. And so we've been more comfortable by releasing some of those provisions made. And the percentages, from Q4 now to Q1, what about that? Is that a final calibration, would you say, of this model, of your models, or is it just a temporary thing? I wouldn't say that the percentage points are that relevant as such. It's there are smaller movements that will have an impact. Okay, and then one final question. The number of employees down by 31 individuals by the end of the year. Is that a temporary thing, or is this something that you've actively cut down? It's mainly a temporary thing. It's calculated as per the last day of each quarter, and it means that you can have quite significant differences in the number of individuals, the full-time equivalents, without impacting the cost base. And in our activities, we've always had a relatively high degree of turnover of people, not least in what we call business support. So don't read too much into those numbers. Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
And the next question from Patrick Dillius from ABG.
Patrick,
can you hear us? Yes, hello, can you hear me? Yes, we hear you. Well, hi, this is a follow-up question having to do with the NBI margin, and you mentioned some action that is to be taken. Do you expect it to get above your target already in Q2, that this will take effect early on, or when do you expect it to be above the target? Answer, well, it's too early for us to say. We'll have price increases in Q2, and we're also looking at additional products that we can sell to get margins up. But it also has to do with how this will be received by consumers, so it's too early to say. And this development that you have seen in the Norwegian market, you don't think this is temporary, but you think that this will be constant throughout the year. Well, it depends on what you mean. If we look at the market as such, we do not really expect that much more of an effect having to do with the legislation or the rules as such. However, we do feel that the competition in the Norwegian market, where people are going after volumes, we do think that will continue. We know that several Norwegian banks are really fighting to get volumes up. And when that will change is hard to say. Okay, a few more questions. You have income from commission, and that is down, and the loan book is up comparing Q4 to Q1. How come? Well, that has to do with our retail partners, and it's dependent on what agreements we have and what partners we bring in. So that can move up or down. Would you say that this is a weaker quarter, looking at commission income? Maybe somewhat is the answer. Okay, thank you. And the last question has to do with the repurchase program. And do you have any information about what is happening there? Well, we have our AGM tomorrow, and the board 1 year ago was given a mandate for repurchase of shares, and that will have to be discussed again because that mandate was given up until the next year's AGM. So it will be discussed tomorrow again, where the board will ask for a renewed mandate, and then we will have to contact the supervisory authority again for a renewed application. Well, I had a feeling when we had the Q4 report that you had already sent that application in and that you're waiting for approval. That is correct. But unfortunately, the supervisory authority, well, they have some time to make a decision, and that has been stretched out so that it's now in our silent period and too close to the AGM. So we have to start that process again. Okay. And you do not have that approval yet. Well, it's now very close to the AGM, and that means that we haven't heard from the Financial Supervisory Authority, and that means that we'll have to reapply. Okay. And could it take another 3 months to get an approval? Yes, unfortunately it could. Thank you, then I think I understand. Thank you.
Just as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, dial 01 on your phones. And the next question is from Peter Kusiakov from SEB. Go ahead. Hello. Just a few follow-up questions. The price increases that you mentioned expected in Q2 for Norway, I assume that it's going to have an impact in Q3 at the earliest. So there's a 6-week notice period, right? Yes, that's correct. We should see something towards the end of Q2, but the major impact will come in Q3. And you mentioned that it's too early to talk about whether you could come into your NBI margin target, your risk-adjusted NBI margin after this. But if you look at the drop in consumer credits in the last year, I think it was about 110 points year on year, how much of that can be explained from the price drop in Norway? And could you say anything along the lines of that the drop in Q1 can be recovered through the price increases? Well, we're not going to give any details on the exact distribution, but out of the drop we've seen in the NBI margin, the absolute majority is referable to Norway. And now we're taking corrective measures to try and raise the margin. And as you mentioned yourself, they will be visible mainly in Q3, but also towards the end of Q2. So we expect to be able to work to get the margins up again. If it's going to bring us exactly up above or not is too early to say. Okay, thank you. And then really just one final question on funding. Over a long period of time, you have diversified the funding mix and the total has dropped and now it's been stable at 73-74%. Is that in around there where you'd like to be placed, or are you going to continue the diversification with TN and ABSs, etc., in the future? Well, we will diversify more if we see that the operations are changing to the structures of the mix between payment solutions and consumer loans. But where we are currently and for the foreseeable future, we feel that we're at a good level where we are placed right now, so don't expect any major changes compared to the current situation. Okay, that's all for me. Thank you.
And our next question from DNB Markets, please.
Hi, dette Håkon Astrup fra DNB Markets. Et spørsmål knyttet.
Well, DNB Market, and I have a question having to do with the debt register in Norway. And what do you think that will mean? Will that put additional pressure on the margins, and will that have a longer-term effect or just a shorter term? Well, we do not feel that this would lead automatically to pressure on margins, but we do think it's positive with this register, because every type of information that can help us to evaluate credit risk is positive. So everything else being unchanged, it should have a positive effect on credit losses. Okay. And then there will be others who will also be able to judge credit risk. And will that lead to increased pressure on margins? Well, that is possible, but we do not think that this register in Norway will have that much of an effect on margins. So long term, it's good for credit risk, and perhaps short term, I can imagine that you will have to have increased provisions because you will have more customers in stage three. Well, we can't really say yet. It's too soon, but we're not concerned in any way. Okay, great. Thank you.
Currently, we have no further requests for questions, so I'm going to give the floor back to the speaker. Well, in that case, as Peter, thank you all for your attention, and we wish you all a very pleasant day. Thank you to all.